All right, we are here with Patricia Shawip Shanene. That was horrible. Don't let me do that again. Patricia Shanene Smith is live in the house. If you guys don't know who this is, I don't know what you've been living under a rock or what. This book here, and I want to show this because I also want to show the fact that you have a gorgeous website.
Really?
This thing was sleek. It is pretty. And this book cover, this is not just me saying it. I was in a Discord the other day, and they had a thing. It's like, what are you reading now? And I put this cover up on there. And even other people were like, that cover is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely love this thing.
I wish I could take credit for it, but that's all.
Well, and once you read the book, too, the cover makes a lot more sense. So that one was perfect. I do want to get started with a couple things I always ask. Obviously, you do have, I think you went to school for art film. You've got a directing credit or two. However, you have also written a book. So I always like to ask people, when it comes to writing, what is your villain origin story?
Okay, well, that's easy because it's in my bio that I saw my first dead body at 6 years old. But I mean, it could be, I guess that could be it. My villain story would be my first dead body because I've started everything that I wrote after that has included a dead body. So, and I also became like a really morbid child. I used to want to be a mortician. I wanted to be a detective. I've always been obsessed with death as a really young child. My dad was very worried about me, but instead I just started writing it. So, I guess that could be my villain story. I got in a lot of trouble when I was a kid. Does that count?
That counts. I was wondering, you know, what drew you to writing versus like filmmaking and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I get asked that, like, what made you become a writer? And I really can't answer that because writing is just always what I've done. I've always wrote instead of coloring books. I never made a conscious decision of I'm going to become a writer. That never happened. I mean, the only conscious decision I made was like, okay, wait, I can make money from this. I can actually be published. So I might as well start looking into that. That's the only conscious decision, but it's always just been innate. It's always been a part of me. I feel like if I really thought about it, I wanted to be a rock star, but no, I'm a writer.
Didn't we all? I don't have the hair for it, though, but one of the reasons I asked that though, too, is because every author has a different answer. And for people who are out there aspiring to be authors, I always like to let them know, it's like no single author is going to have the same story as you. Yeah. Other thing I like to ask, what is a day in the life of Patricia Smith look like?
Okay. I have my dream day in the life, but then I have what I'm actually doing. I guess you're going to want to know what I'm actually doing. I just got back from tour and I really wish I can blame the fact that my life is chaotic right now, but no, this is just like what I've been doing. I wake up and I do grab my phone. I know. I'm so sorry. Don't do what I do. This is just what's going on with me. I grab my phone. But I do my 10-step face routine. And that takes a lot of my time. I do meditate sometimes for a minute, but sometimes for 10 minutes. Sometimes it doesn't work at all. And sometimes I get a lot of ideas from it. I do read for a little bit. And I do a couple. I'm looking for a job right now. So, of course, I'm doing like job applications, answering emails, doing all admin. Then at 12 to like 10 p.m., I'm watching TV. I know. I'm really bad. But during that time, I am brainstorming. This is my second book. Obviously, we can see we got a lot done. Got a lot. This is act one. So
we're you could have just said that you had to hide it so you don't give any spoilers away.
No. But I don't actually start writing until 10 p.m. guys. I really don't start, but I need all that time to prepare me to 10 p.m. And then I go to bed around 3 and I get up around, I get around 9, but that's not actually have, sorry, this is like, I actually have my daily routine of what I want to do. Waking up at 7 a.m. We'll get there.
I think going to bed at 3 is probably throwing a wrench in
there. Okay, no, because I have making tea around 5. And so I can, my goal is to start reading around 7, 8. And so I can get to bed at 10. Mm-hmm. That's the dream. 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Get everything done by 10. Work out. We want to do that every day. And then write for 2-hour blocks. I like doing 2-hour blocks and then watching a TV show, 2-hour blocks, writing a TV show. That's the dream. We'll get there. The next time I'm on.
The dream doesn't happen if you don't have the goal down. So that,
yeah,
completely understand that. And let's face it, none of us probably, there's okay, very, very few people do their exact schedule every day. Life happens.
Yeah.
If you were given a chance to teach a class or give some advice to somebody, either as a writer or I know also you've got the interest in film, either one of those, what would you tell somebody who's just coming up in the industry?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask what kind of class I would teach. And I really,
that'll work too.
I really want to teach a class on film and crime and shooting or writing in crime. Like, I want to get my master's in criminology. And so I definitely want to teach a class about crime and putting that into film and novels. But the actual question, my advice, I always say is just to get the black on the white. Like, just no matter, don't overthink it. It could be terrible. I've spent months writing a terrible book and then deleting it all and then just redoing that. But to just like sit down and get the black on the white. That's that simple. And then we can talk, then the outlines can come in and the structure can come in. The other people's opinions can come in.
Some of which are good. Some of which you have to take with a grain of salt.
Yeah. And then the balance of that and structure. Yeah. Structure is my biggest issue. Cause when I write, I just put it and then having to restructure it gives me a headache.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cause I'm going to have a question about that when I get to the book too. So that's the main thing. And then I think we'll skip the one I was going to ask you, you know, about the whole, unless you really wanted to do it, about, you know, special, you know, skills or hobbies or anything.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think my special skill is finding things out. Wait, that's
a better way to word it than earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I thought that just came to mind. I'm really good at finding things out. You can't hide anything from me.
And I think it also works well with the type of, you know, shows and books that you're drawn to as well. So
yeah, and my interest in criminology and wanting to investigate and really dive deep into my stories.
So speaking of which, I want to talk about the book, Remember. I did get a chance to read that. I thought I was going to still be reading it today, but I couldn't put it down yesterday. So I got finished up at like 5. So I've been sitting here waiting to talk to you about it now. This is a re-release. The book originally came out in 2019. We talked about it briefly, but there are a lot of re-releases coming out lately. Why are you re-releasing your book?
Yeah. So unfortunately my first publisher closed down, but fortunately another publisher, Datura, bought the catalog. And so my agent worked out a deal where what if I revised it, because I was uncomfortable with the first book coming out the same, just because I was really young when I wrote it. And I just wanted a different ending and I didn't wanted it to be different.
No, that's fine. I was just curious. Yeah. Like I said, I've had quite a few this year that have all been re-released.
Yeah, that's really
interesting. Everybody's had a different reason, which is
kind of cool. I didn't know that. I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
No, not at all. I do also like as I mentioned earlier, I do love the new cover a little bit better than I like the old cover. It was great. Your book is going to be very hard to talk about while avoiding spoilers on some stuff.
Yeah.
However, it is one of those books that does jump back and forth. So just a question about your process. Did you write the book chronologically and then move stuff around? Or did you jump back and forth based on when you needed to do something?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not that smart. I definitely wrote it chaotically because that's just how I didn't want to get bored. And so if I was going to be bored writing it, then you would be bored reading it. So I started jumping around because I was like, wait, this would be interesting. And I hope for the best that it worked out math wise. And it didn't. And that's why I had an editor, multiple editors try and fix that for me. And they're like, did you even try? And I really did.
A little bit.
Yeah. I didn't have to fix too much, but some math isn't my strong suit. So sometimes the years were a little off.
Yeah, I do say that the math, and I appreciate that they put the dates there, but sometimes it almost threw me off. It's like, I don't, because as soon as I have the date, then I'm trying in my head to put it where it needed to be, as to where if I just probably read it, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, three years earlier or 2 years later.
Yeah, I read a book once where it was just then and now, and I really liked it.
Yeah. There was some definitely some things in there that I thought were very, very interesting. Without getting into too many details, it does focus on
social anxiety disorder.
Thank you. I was stuck on societal, and I'm like, that's not the word I'm looking for.
I know. And I was like, I thought you were going there. I was like, oh no.
No. Social anxiety disorder. There's a little bit on postpartum depression. There's on a lot of that mental health type stuff. Is that something that you were just interested in, or is it anything that you've? We don't have to go into specifics if you don't want. But is anything like that has touched you? Family, friends, anything like that?
Yeah. So all my books that, I've written a lot of books, only one's published. And my second book, all of that has to deal with mental illness. All my characters have to deal with some type of mental disorder, but that's not the plot. And that is because I struggled with mental illness, and that is just, you know, I write what I know. And I didn't really think that I was going to like be pigeonholed into mental illness, but I'm not against it. I think it needs to be talked about more and not so glamorized, and I don't know how to say it, but basically, yeah, I chose that because I felt like I haven't really explored social anxiety disorder and I haven't really read about it that much. And so I definitely wanted to give that disorder a voice, but I deal with trauma. I have PTSD, and so it started off as very cathartic, and then my imagination kind of went crazy.
Well, yes, obviously I would hope that without going into details, everything in the book did not happen to you.
Yeah, just even Portia's, I don't have social anxiety disorder, but I've dealt with her PTSD part. I definitely came from real life experiences.
No, I just always appreciate that. I think it's one of those things that doesn't get enough. We need to talk about it more so people aren't afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. And that's literally the whole point of my book. I always do this thing. I have it. Is that weird that I have my own book?
Not at all. Most authors do.
I always do this like thing where if people talked about mental illness more and spoke up to their friends, this book would have ended right here. And a lot of this book did not need to happen if people spoke up. And that's what I'll say about that.
Yep. Even in the context of the story, this book did not need to happen if people spoke up. So yeah, I totally follow you on that.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Josh, who's in the house. He stopped by to say hi. So
hi, Josh.
All right. Yeah, like I said, this is going to be the fun part trying to talk about this. Portia is your main character in here. Obviously, she is dealing with more than one mental illness, but she's also dealing, I think we talked about, as you're talking about now, she doesn't have the support structure around her. And that's as much as I'm going to say about it, because I want people to read the book. But it's also kind of weird because she does have people. And this story, I feel, is much less about mental illness. It's much more about people, quote unquote, without mental illness,
dealing with it.
Yeah. And not wanting to talk about it.
Yeah. That's
uncomfortable.
Yeah. You're one of the first people that like notice that. And that's what it's truly about. They say this is a little different, but kind of the same thing, like where addiction is not, it's a family disease. And a lot of mental illnesses are a family disease and it affects your loved ones. In this instant, the loved ones are not, you don't know what to do. Like, they don't know what to do. And that comes from real life, especially in the Black community. It's not really talked about a lot. It's like taboo. Like, we don't go to therapy. We go to the barbershop. Like, you know, it's like, it's just not talked about it enough. And so I definitely wanted to put that into the book on how, like, and you don't want to blame. I hope that you don't hate the other characters, but you kind of relate to them. Cause there's been some times where, I mean, I know I've been crazy. And I've been kind of scared, like people were scared to talk to me. But if they did talk to me, I would have gotten help a long time ago. And there's been times where I'm like, I don't know how to bring this up with another person that has struggles with mental illness. So it's like, it's definitely understandable and it's a very uncomfortable situation. But then this is what happens if it never gets talked about.
Yeah, I think it's a twofold issue. It's A, the fact that we're uncomfortable. And I also think the character of Maddie in the book was kind of also one of those main things where it's like, she knows what's going on, but she doesn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
But I think we also live in a society that's very much comfortable or not, I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it wasn't me. Yeah. It's like, know, it's not my business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
I always tell people we live in a very much watch out for number one society. But if you're only watching out for yourself, you've got one person watching out for you. If all 8 billion of us were all watching out for each other, you'd have 7+ billion people watching out for you.
Yeah.
And we just don't do that.
Right.
But I love the fact that you managed to put that strong of a story in this book, and it never came across as preachy.
I hope not.
It's never one of those things like, here, read my book about mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, it's read my book about this thing that's happened.
Yeah.
And we're going to dive through it.
Yeah. I always put these characters, they're already struggling with a lot themselves, and then I just like drop bombs on them. That doesn't actually happen. There's no bomb, actually.
You don't have to worry about saying that at the airport. I'm going to take about 90 seconds or so if I can get this to work.
Okay.
And is it this one? I hope it's this one. We're going to show this. That's not what I clicked on. Oh, I keep forgetting. I've got to turn that one off before.
So I have to shout out Camille Taylor for helping me with my website when you were complimenting it. My friend helped a lot with it.
I'm not sure if it's going to let me show this again. I'm going to add it again. And now, oh, there it goes.
This is so cool. But I can't hear it, but maybe.
Oh, it is playing on my end.
Okay, cool.
Hopefully Josh will let me know if he can hear it.
Wait, have you watched it? You didn't. This is the first time you're seeing it.
All right. Now, Josh said he couldn't hear it either, but I didn't want to stop in the middle of it. What I am going to do.
Man, it has a great score, Josh, just to let you know.
Yeah, it is really good.
And it's on YouTube.
I'm going to end up putting that link at the bottom of the YouTube video, and I'm also going to throw it in the chat if anybody wants to check that out. That was an excellent book trailer. I have not seen one that good before.
Thank you.
I've seen ones to me that looked before like they were trying to do a sort of trailer for something, but it looked really, this one looked like I'm expecting to see this show on Apple TV next week.
Yay. That's what we're going for. People are like, it looks like it's going to be a movie. I'm like, great. Right.
It does. It looked like you had real actors in there too.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. Maybe you did, or maybe you just had some friends that were willing to do this with you.
I got a lot of actor friends, so they were letting them do that for me.
So, but yeah, that was a great. I had not seen that before. Your intern, and I've just blanked on her name. I know we talked about Abby. Abby had reached out to me, and I had not seen that yet. But she sent me the ebook, which is why I had that picture up earlier because I don't have the physical. But she was already going to be on. It was too late to go back. I can already tell everybody. I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads. You can go see it. That has nothing to do with whether or not she was coming on or not. So
that's fine. Thank you.
Excellent story. And again, this is one of those books, though, that the hardest thing is to talk about this book without giving anything away.
I will say the main thing, it's about a girl who committed a crime that she doesn't remember. Yep. That she doesn't remember.
Yeah. Which the book trailer did an awesome job. For those of you who couldn't hear it, it was awesome. I did not, and I kept looking. I could not figure out a way to share the audio. It's like, why isn't the audio coming through? So
technology.
I don't know.
It's okay.
But it was, check it out. Like I said, the link's in there. So Josh went and checked it out, I think. So
wait.
I think he liked the trailer.
Yay.
Like I said, that was really, really, really good. I wished I'd seen it beforehand, although it was kind of fun to see it live with you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of fun seeing you see it for the first time, too.
I do have to say the other thing that I liked about your book is that even the parts that, And I almost feel like you did certain things to make people wonder and to kind of pick up on some of it. So I don't think it's like a full mystery. But even the parts that I kind of picked up on, and I'm like, I wonder if, and then I'd read somewhere, I was like, wait, I wonder if. And then finally, even the parts that I had figured out, I'm like, I can't wait to find, you know, get to the end to find out if I'm right.
Yeah, that's good. I will say I have three types of twists in there, I think. And everyone, some of my reviews are like, I did not get that one jaw-dropping twist. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know which twist you're talking about, but I just know that one twist I know avid readers will get, and I'm okay with that. And one twist, it's like, we'll see if we get it or not, but it doesn't need, like, and then one, I'm like, I hope no one gets it. And whatever, I just hope there's at least one twist where everyone's like, whoa, didn't see that coming, but I'm okay. That's why I always like to write with multiple twists. See which one really is jaw-dropping, but I'm okay with a couple of them being, you know, like, yeah, I read a lot of thrillers. And
I'll tell you off screen, there was one twist that I absolutely got. There was one twist that I didn't get until the moment that it was brought up.
Okay.
And then, and I think part of that first twist is where you kept throwing me off because I kept thinking about it. And then without going into any detail, something would happen. It's like, well, wait, no.
Good.
And then, but then I was like, no, it has to be. Then why? So.
Yeah. I just want to make people feel things and question things and. Yeah.
And then the final chapter, that part I didn't see coming at all.
Good. Okay. So that's the jaw-dropping twist, which is kind of funny because I thought that one would be kind of that one. I thought
that one is a jaw-dropping twist. I just thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
I felt like that second one that I didn't see coming until right before Portia figured it out. That's the one that like, oh.
That's okay. Really funny is that we can be talking about different twists throughout this conversation.
True. Except we will discuss this after we're not live, because again, there's twists in here and I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
So Josh is asking if there's a better place to order it from than Amazon, like some authors get.
Yeah. I get bookshop.org just because bookshop.org supports independent booksellers.
That's going to be the one that's in my link after this is over anyhow. So I always link to bookshop.org and I don't think there's an audiobook. Is there?
There is.
I'll link the Libro on that if it's there.
And also, I just want to shout out that you can get it on Penguin Random House.
Okay. Well, that too. Okay, usually you can get it from the publisher. Let's face it. But yeah, I always link Libro and I always link bookshop.org because both of those are places that give a piece of the pie back to an independent bookstore.
Yeah. So I was online, bookshop.org. But in person's been kind of difficult. I don't know. Every bookstore is different.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't actually. I should have checked. I should have seen if my local bookstore had that or not. Because it is a trad pub, so there's a chance. Yeah,
it's still a small press though.
Fair.
Love them. Still.
No. Every once in a while, for fun, I just go in and like. Because I used to work at the local bookstore and I'm just like, hey, you guys need to pick this up.
Yeah, I've been doing that too.
So, oh my goodness. So, yeah. So now that we've just talked in front of people about absolutely nothing because we're trying to avoid spoilers like crazy. No. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you have another book in the works?
Yeah.
Is there anything you can say about that book?
It's definitely in the works.
Well, you mean that's a stupid question. You already showed me the full blackboard behind you. You got the full flannel graph going on there.
It's called Dead Skinny, and it's set in the same universe as Remember. So the same detective comes back, and the same lawyer comes back.
Oh.
Is
it Rose and Elizabeth? Is that who I'm remembering?
No, that would be cool if it was Elizabeth, but no, it's you probably haven't. The detective plays a small role.
I'm thinking of the lawyer.
The lawyer comes back for sure. Okay. But I just you're gonna be you're gonna get an exclusive of this new log line that I'm trying out. I gotta find it. It's kind of I don't know if I should. Sorry, hold on.
Don't give anything away you don't want to give away.
Yeah, basically, It follows a teenager this time, 16-year-old Kara Jones, who is a recovering anorexic, and she was part of a cult, a pro-ana cult. And so we meet her when she's trying to, like, in recovery of that, and it's very hard. I can't really say too much. I can only tell you act one. She's assaulted by the mayor's son. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets her spiraling around. And then there's a death. She's a prime suspect. She might have to go back to the cult to figure out who did it. It's set in a fictional town of Bridgewood, and it's like a beach cliffside town, but think of Washington, giving a lot of different things about it. But I know those things are happening in this book.
No, that's fine. And let's face it, something could change. We understand that.
Yeah, I will say this book is probably the most rawest book I wrote, and it's going to be really controversial. I am dealing with a lot of heavy content. I am exploring anorexia and all of it. And so I have to have a lot of sensitivity readers, and I have to write it very carefully.
Gotcha. Nope. Understood. Who is the, not to go off topic, but there was, I had Nat Cassidy on a little while ago. He's a horror writer, and he actually had a joke in the front of his book, because it's a horror book, but he had a joke about the whole thing. Like, he went through all the trigger warnings. It says, and if trigger warnings trigger you, next time I'll try to remember to put in a trigger warning for the trigger warnings.
That is so funny.
But yeah, it's like, if you go into a horror book, I feel like I get, don't get me wrong, I get that there's certain things that are probably very triggering, and probably certain things need to be said. Hey, if you're going into this book, this might happen. But I also feel like if you're a horror book, there are certain things that you're just going to expect to happen.
Yeah, especially psychological thrillers. This is the first one where I have to have a trigger warning, and I'm nervous about it because some of my triggers in there are the spoilers. So I'm like, I don't know how to go about it, but I did.
I think you just need to have a page that says the next page is a list of trigger warnings. Some of them may be spoilery. If you don't want to see any spoilers, feel free to flip to the third page.
Yeah, that's just
kind of like when on a video you're saying we're going to talk about spoilers now, so come back in 8 minutes if you don't want to hear anything. You know.
Right. Oh yeah, my agent and I are figuring that out. I have an idea of how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it a little differently, which I'm excited about.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're obviously going to be very excited for the book trailer next time, because that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully I'll have a bigger budget, too.
Hey, I don't care. That was for the book that you put out, knowing what was going on. That trailer, I think, was perfect. It told you exactly what you needed to know without giving anything away. So...
that's great.
And like I said, it was very polished. I think it was very polished.
Thank you. We all worked really hard on it.
Gotcha. All right. Anything else? So I think we kind of covered about the book. We probably will try to zoom in on that board behind you. And, you know, I'm just kidding. Trust me, I've tried doing that before.
I promise, so far.
I'm just saying, they show like the FBI shows and somebody like zooms in on a picture and it fills in all the details. Yeah, that doesn't work on most people's home computers. It's
that's so funny.
You zoom in and you just get a highly pixelated
piece. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I see yellow. That's all I see.
Right.
So don't want to get into too much spoiler territory. Totally looking forward to the next book. Definitely. So I see you've only got Act One up there, so I'm not even going to ask you for a laydown date. We're not that far in yet. Obviously, if anybody is interested in this book at all. Talk to your library or your local bookstore. If nothing else, it shows them interest and they might get some copies in. Otherwise, I will have links down in below. Libro.fm, obviously I do for audiobooks, and bookshop.org, I always do for physical. I don't hate anybody who shops at Amazon if that's what you want to do. I just like to give the brick and mortars a little bit of money here and there. So a couple quick questions then I want to follow up on. One, what are you reading right now, if anything?
Yeah, I'm reading Lisa Joel, Watching You, but I will say I only read the first chapter yet, so I love it. I want to be her. I also just finished War D by Freda McFadden. I want to be her, too. And then I'm also reading Criminology.
Ah.
And wait, criminology and criminal profiling for beginners and criminology step by step.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I've got a book that might be up your alley. Not me personally, because that would be cool. But it's called The Body Farm. And I think it's written by, I think the guy's last name is Bass. But it's a book by the guy who created what they call the body farm. It was the first place where they actually would take, like, let's put out a pig body in winter and see how long it takes to decompose and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of the start of that whole CSI type thing. But the guy who writes it, he writes it much more like a story. So you feel less like you're learning something and more like you're just enjoying it. Yeah. For instance, he talked about the fact that he one time did he did an experiment at home, and he told his wife he was going to, you know, clean the pans, but she didn't care. He had to go buy her all new pans.
Wow.
Because she didn't want anything that had any of those experiments in it. So,
that's crazy.
But yeah, and he kind of makes fun of the stuff, you know, the mistakes they made early on too. So it like I said, I think it's I always tell people to read that if they're interested in this type of stuff at all, simply because it's one of those few books that reads much more like a fiction book, even though it is completely factual.
It's all true.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, before that, people were guessing. It's like, well, you know, what was the, you know, humidity and cold and how would that affect it? I don't know. So,
that's funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we got a little. Ward D was good. Good. All right.
That's good. It was.
We skipped over that one. I'm trying to think. There's another question I'm forgetting. Because I don't want to get out. There's one question I always ask before I get to the book shout out one. I can't remember what it is. Oh, I was going to the generic one. Is there anything you wanted to talk about we didn't talk about?
Okay. No one asked about the Big Bang Theory in my book.
I've seen it all.
Or I on my book launch, I literally wore a Big Bang Theory shirt. And there were 60 people there. And now one person said, why are you wearing the Big Bang Theory shirt? So the question that I thought I would be getting asked is like, who's your favorite character on the Big Bang Theory? But no one cares.
Well, I figure it's either Penny or Sheldon. You know, that's just me.
Yeah, I know it's Sheldon.
Yeah. So you just need to wear a shirt that just says Bazinga and you'd be good.
Yeah, but I read the Big Bang Theory book and they said that Bazinga was not like supposed to be as popular as it is. And they don't understand how it got popular. So I'm not going to make it popular. I want the shirt that says, I have like a bunch of shirts, but one that I don't have is I'm not crazy. My mother had me tested.
Yeah. Whereas my mother likes to joke, she's not crazy. She's just a carrier. So, you know, we'll see if my wife yells at me. I'll throw her under the bus a little bit. Or like we joke around our house that my wife needs the sarcasm sign. Not because she doesn't get sarcasm, but because nobody can ever tell when she's joking.
That's so
funny. It's like, if you're joking, hold up the sign.
Yeah. That is so funny.
I love that. And as always, I know you've got some stuff going on. I know there's a tour you're either in the middle of or you're...
Well, I have three more dates.
So obviously, we're not going to mention everybody here, so apologies in advance, but is there any, especially like a local bookstore that you would like to give a shout out to?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I will say the Book Joel, not just because they just had a car run into them.
The bookstore is not a drive-in. Get it. All right.
It's not funny. It's really not funny. They are back up and running. Sorry, it's not funny. But... I love them because they're closest to my house and they do Noir at the Bar. Am I saying that right? Noir at the Bar. And they're really, I just love the Book Joels in Westchester, and that's where I'll be closing out my tour there on June 14th.
And I'm assuming that's a local one.
Yeah. In Los Angeles.
Okay. So let me ask you this and nobody pay attention in case the answer is no. Is that a place that if somebody wanted to buy the book, you might swing by and sign it for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I live close to it.
I always put whatever bookstore we talk about, I'll also have that in link. Obviously, I can't put it ahead of time because I don't know what book they're going to shout out until they do. So definitely do that one. I have to say, and again, you've already been on, so I don't have to blow smoke or anything. I was pleasantly surprised with this book. It is not what I thought it was going to be. And I enjoyed every single minute of it. And it's just, again, this is not, you know, I read a lot of fantasy, a lot of horror, a lot of sci-fi. I do have some mystery and stuff once in a while, but this book was absolutely 5 stars for me. Not sponsored by Patricia Shanae Smith. I'm just telling you to go check it out. I'm glad I got a chance to read it. I'm glad Abby reached out to me. And I'm probably going to get a copy so that my wife can read it as well, because she hates reading ebooks.
Yeah, no, I actually don't like reading ebooks either. So I hated that we had to do that. But now I have some copies.
I'm at that age, though, where like if I'm doing something on my computer desk, I don't read it on my Kindle. I have it up on the big monitor.
I also can't listen to them either. That sucks.
I like listening to audiobooks. I do have to say, like, if I'm going to do a review for an audiobook, though, I have to do it quickly after it's over. I don't remember
audiobooks as well as I do. Right, yeah.
Well, because, and that's my other problem with ebooks, too, is if I'm reading a physical book and I'm flipping through the pages and I'm trying to remember something, I'm like, wait, that was on the left side about halfway up.
Yeah.
And I can kind of picture it. As to where an ebook, all the pages look the same.
Yeah. Also, I'm a very slow reader. Like sometimes I'll read a whole chapter and not compute any of it, and I have to reread it.
Yeah. My biggest downside to ebooks is like it's virtually impossible to flip back to like, wait, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's like, and don't even get me started on doing that on audiobooks.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I'll accidentally bump a button because I listen to audiobooks before I go to bed. And sometimes I'll bump a button at night, and I'll get up and it's like, how did you enjoy your book? I'm like, I didn't finish my book. And then I got to go back. It's like, I think they said chapter 34. Where?
That's crazy. And also, how do you know when you're going to fall asleep to? That's crazy. You go to sleep with audiobooks.
Yeah. I enjoy, cause my eyes get tired before I do. And my wife gets tired before I do. So
yeah,
she has your schedule that you want to do, except for she's up at like 6, but yeah, she goes to bed around 8 and she reads till about 9 or 10 and then she crashes.
Amazing. So, see, I just need to get married. Maybe that'll give me all my schedule.
Well, she's also a nurse. So her schedule is very, it's not quite as fun when she gets called in at 2 a.m. though. So it does have its drawbacks.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I think that is it. I did have a couple other people stopped in, but they just said they stopped in to say hi and that they were going to watch it later. So didn't want to take some time up with that. But I appreciate you coming on. I am totally looking forward to your second book whenever that comes out.
Yeah.
Also going to keep an eye on IMDb and, you know, see if I see your name pop up again. Yeah. She's on IMDb, people. She does have a couple.
I am trying to sell some pilots. So
director credits. But yeah, whenever you come back, you've got my email. You pretty much have an open invitation whenever that second book comes out.
Okay. Yes, I'm glad. Thank you so much for having me. Seriously.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for stopping in, and we will catch you later.